they say. If you've spent time and resources carrying out new product development or working on innovative solutions, you could reduce your tax bill or secure a cash injection of up to 25% of what you've spent. Stuart did.
My company, Travel Welfare, have been developing new cost-effective software for issuing vouchers to delayed flight passengers. Rift Research and Development helped me claim tens of thousands of pounds back against the staff time and material costs I invested. It was such a simple process and they completed everything for me, so I had nothing to worry about. I would strongly recommend Rift and I'll be using them again.
To find out if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk today. That's innovationreward.co.uk.
If you need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures. Independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off my stack.
Jobsinkent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 7th of April, with me, Paul Andrews, and Jules Serkin. I just wanted to let Steve, I kind of talked over him at the end. I just wanted him to let you have a quick shout out, Steve. You had a shout out for someone. Yeah.
Just like to say hello to my wife, Daryl, my three children, Laura, Kelly, and Adam, especially Kelly, who's convalescing at home as we speak. Recovering from quite a nasty operation. So, love to you, darling.
And get well soon from
get
all
well
of
soon.
Us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolute pleasure.
It's the Easter holidays now.
Yeah.
Fun and games at your place, then?
Yeah, they're all young adults rather than children.
Okay. But,
they're even worse. I've got some of those.
She's recovering at home. She's not been good at all. So. But improving. I'm pleased to say improving. She's still convalescing.
Well, we send her our thoughts and best wishes to get better soon, Kelly. And we're thinking of you here on the Business Bunker Show. Jules, I think you can read an email for us if you would.
I would love to.
I knew you'd say that.
I've just finished my tweet. No, there's an alpaca poo gate going on the Twitter.
Is
with
Bee
Mentoring Thingy Bobby. He's
with
been very naughty.
Thingy Bobby.
Yeah, well, because I've come off this Twitter now and going, but he's James. He's being very naughty.
Is he?
He's deciding. Well, I was wondering whether you had done it, and he thinks maybe you paid someone to do it.
Do you reckon?
So then I'm thinking maybe Chris Pollard. I don't know. He was here earlier. Luxury aisle runners at affordable prices walk up the aisle in style. Now, what is this? This is there is a website. I'm going to read that out. It's www.aislerunnersuk.co.uk, and this is from a man called Buster Keenan, not Buster Keaton, but Buster Keenan. Mm-hmm. And he says they were established in 2014, and they've got offices in north and southwest of England. And Aisle Runners UK boasts an impressive portfolio of services. Now, what do they do? I'm not really sure. It's run by
Aisle Runners.
Well, what are Aisle Runners?
They're those strips of
on
material. No. You've asked me, and I'm going to tell you. They're strips of material you put down a table or something like that if you're having a banquet.
Aisle Runners?
Yeah.
I just call them runners, not Aisle Runners.
Sorry.
Now I know.
There you go.
Because I always thought maybe it was for stairs or something. Okay, aisle runners, so it must be for weddings and things.
Yeah, but
they're
runners, not necessarily aisle runners. Aisle Runners is the name of the company.
Oh, aisle runners.
Blimey, you have to explain.
So table runners.
Yeah.
And the company's called Aisle. Aisle.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Mr. and Mrs. Aisle.
Well, you've got the email. I'm just speculating on what you're reading to.
Well, I'm trying to get to the nitty gritty of it, but I didn't. So a runner. Yeah, I know what a runner is. A table runner. So maybe they should be Aisle Table Runners UK. Anyhow, they are Aisle Runners UK, and it's owned by a mother and daughter team. Mrs. Sarah has been a seamstress for over 30 years, making all kinds of products, so not just runners. Ballerina dresses, there you are, here's your pink tutu, sorted.
Exactly.
Free postage and packing.
Exactly.
Are they listening? They can get you one. Large size, please, perhaps extra large. Wedding dresses, chair covers, and lots of other products, so not just runners. And the daughter, Donna, has been dressing venues for over 12 years for couples' wedding day. And one customer asked if they could make an aisle runner for her. Yeah, I'm not convinced by your thing, because they've asked for an aisle runner.
We've been 20 minutes.
I know what it is. I know what it is.
What?
It's for going down the aisle.
There you go.
You see.
Well, if only you'd have read the email first.
Well, no,
I'm just...
I'm still just guessing. It's not particularly clear. But I'm reckoning it's for a church.
You were right first time. You're reckoning this.
And the and the company has then called itself Aisle Runners.
Right.
Okay. So it's a church aisle. Get
there
it?
There you go.
Not a table runner at all.
Right, have you got there now?
Anyway, so lots of people who saw this aisle runner loved it because of the word of mouth. Lots of other brides started to ask, so they now make aisle runners. They're sold on eBay. So there you are, 40 years of combined experience with Sarah and Donna. So there is a phone number, and it's Buster Keenan, 07-8408-38417. Paul Andrews is shuffling his papers as loudly as he can.
Well, I'm bored now.
But it's aisle runners. So I think you were wrong, I would say, listener, in my defence. We know now it's a church aisle.
Thank you for that.
Good. I'm guessing.
Right, we've had some tweets. A new listener called First Setting, that's the number one ST underscore setting. One ST underscore setting, First Setting, put on the web. We are leading suppliers of event equipment for weddings, corporate events, parties, and much more in Kent. So do give them a follow. That's First Setting. And we've also had DWAD Charity, DWAD, Vanilla Web. Any chance of a mention for our charity five-a-side tournament in Dover on April the 25th? You can register online at our website, which is DWAD.org. DWAD.org. So do check that out if you fancy a charity five-a-side tournament on the 25th of April in Dover.
DWAB.
Yeah. I think you read the Whitstable Stove Shop one a while back, did you not?
No, I read them on Scoff and Quaff. They were listening to the Superior Show. They loved it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, well, Whitstable Stove Shop has said they finally are able to listen in live to both Scoff and Quaff. I don't know why you bother with that.
The Superior Show.
And the Business Bunker. So thank you for joining us, Mark. And also, Made in Kent, which happens to be run by Mark, which is a website for people that produce and make things in the county of Kent. They've now put up a Facebook page, which is called, surprisingly, Made in Kent. So do check that out. We've had 300 more. Miss Moneypenny says, you're still playing my music. It's a great show. Thoroughly enjoying it. Thank you very much. Jason Kay, successful sales require successful planning. Going in blind means you always fail. Steve Jessup is 100% right with his sales tips. So thank you for that feedback. UK social media study. University research on social media. Would you like us to help you? And they've given me a link, which is just far too complicated to read, so you're going to have to follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is UK Social... Cool, blimey, they didn't think this through. UK SOCIASTUDY 056. Blimey, that's some kind of Twitter handle that is, isn't it? I'm going to read that again. UK SOCIASTUDY 056. You can follow them on the Twitter.
I had somebody that I came across recently who used their postcode as a Twitter handle, and I found that a bit tough because, you know, very hard to remember.
Yeah.
What do you think of using postcodes?
Yeah, no, well, kind
it's
of
quite hard to remember.
It does, but also, by the same token, it can be quite hard to find something that fits into the character format that you're given that isn't already taken.
Yeah.
If you remember, the reason that the Business Bunker was so long in coming on stream as a Twitter handle
somebody
had cyber squatted on it.
Yeah.
And it took me over 2 years to get Twitter to release it back to me. Even though they'd never posted, they just held on to it. Yeah. So it's difficult.
Well, Dr. John and I discovered that for you. If
exactly.
You remember.
Yeah.
We never had any thanks for it. You know, Stephen. Nothing. Yeah. Not even a thank you note or anything.
Absolutely.
Government has announced national minimum wage. You need an aisle runner that would wake you up. Government announces national minimum. Maybe we'd have one coming through the studio. An aisle runner.
Right.
National minimum wage rate increase. And this has been now formally accepted that most of the Low Pay Commission's recommendations on the new rates for the national minimum wage, NMW. This means that the new NMW rates, which will apply from 1st of October 2015, are an increase from $6.50 to $6.70 per hour in the adult rate, which applies to workers over 21, aged over 21 and over. An increase from 5.13 to 5.30 per hour in the youth development rate, which applies to 18 to 20-year-old workers, and an increase from 3.79 to 3.87 per hour in the rate for 16 and 17-year-old workers. So in relation to the apprentice rate, this applies to all apprentices in year one of the apprenticeship, and 16 to 18-year-old apprentices in any year of an apprenticeship. The Low Pay Commission has recommended an increase from 273 to 280 per hour. However, the government did not accept this and has instead opted to increase the apprentice rate from 273 to 330 an hour. This is the largest ever increase in the national minimum wage for apprentices, and it will halve the gap with the NMW rate for 16 and 17-year-olds. In addition, the government is to launch a consultation with businesses on the future of NMW rate for apprentices. Now, you have some thoughts on this, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, all of that's fair and dandy, but in fact, what's happening in Kent, or the southeast of England really, is now if you want a decent apprentice, the going rate is between £180 and £220 a week, depending on what the apprenticeship's for, because that's, you know, what the market rate is, and that's slowly going up because it's getting harder and harder to source good apprentices.
Yeah.
Which is as it should be. The market should set the rates. I have no time for minimum wages. I think they just send out the wrong message myself.
I was in a pub on
no Kel Surprise
on
hold the front page. Hold the front page. I was in a pub.
I was celebrating Easter, and I said to the young lady who served me, it was a really cracking pub actually. It was can't remember the name actually, the Albion in Faversham on the Creek. And I said to the young lady there, this is a free house? You know, what beers have you got? She didn't know what a free house was. She was quite sad, really, you know, considering she's staff and she's serving. And then I went to another restaurant once and I asked the guy what the desserts were. It was a plate. It was about 10 on there. And I said, oh, what are they all? And he didn't know what he was serving. And so I told the chef, because obviously with Scoff and Cough, they come and chat to us and stuff. And I said, you know, it's a shame that the waiter didn't know. And he said, oh, well, he hasn't been with us long. He'd been with them 6 months. You know, it's all about education, isn't it?
Yeah, Blair was right. Shame he didn't do anything about it. But yeah. Education. He's absolutely right.
Absolutely.
In its broadest sense.
Absolutely.
I mean, this young girl was really embarrassed when she said, I'm sorry, I don't know what a free house is. And, you know, my daughter she hates it when I get all hoity-toity.
Don't we all?
It all got a bit, you know, tight-lipped.
Yeah. Hey, listen, what we're going to do now is something different.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A week or so ago, we had a pop-up radio station.
Oh, we did, yeah.
In conjunction with the lovely folks at Rift Accounting.
Yes.
In their small business base camp, which we set up at the West Kent B2B at the River Centre in Tunbridge. And while we were there, we were lucky enough to be able to do some interviews with a number of people that passed us by.
Lovely.
I'd like to play some of those interviews for you now.
Wonder if Sarah Brooker's in there.
Jackie Brooker is.
Jackie Brooker.
Mm.
Even.
Mm. So, let's have a go.
Diane Dupree.
Mm.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
This is the Business Bunker Outside Broadcast team. We're set up today at the West Kent Business to Business event at the Tunbridge River Centre. We're here in the startup zone with Rift Accounting, and we're going to be interviewing a number of people as they come around the exhibition. We're at the West Kent Business to Business show at the River Centre in Tunbridge, and I've just bumped into Steve Hemsley. Steve, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm really well, thanks, mate. Why don't you tell us a little about you and what you do?
Yeah, I'm from a company called Hendrix, the dog. It's a training company where we use professional actors to boost employee confidence.
Okay, so not dogs?
Not dogs, no. The dog comes from my business partner, Lucy Morgan, who's a professional actress. She was in Brookside on Channel 4, which some of your listeners might remember.
Yeah.
And West End, and she even had a number one single in the dance charts in the 90s.
Wow, okay.
So we set up a training company using the skills of actors to help business people. Things like presentation skills.
Wow, okay, yep.
If you think about when an actor's on stage, is exactly the same as a managing director or somebody presenting to a team or a big audience.
Absolutely, yeah. So, are you delivering speaking skills, or are you using actors to fulfill training? What's the word when you do training courses and role plays?
There can be a misconception about when you have actors in training. People think you're going to get them up there pretending to be a tree or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very technical. Mm. Actors train for 3-5 years, and all they've got is their voice, their body, calming their nerves to go on stage. Business people who give presentations, as an example, they've got an audience who's critiquing them, they're judging them as soon as they walk onto the stage or stand up in a room or walk into a room. They're nervous. They've only got their voice and their body to engage with their audience.
Absolutely, yeah.
What the actors do is they share some of their knowledge and training to help people feel less nervous, make sure their body language doesn't let them down where they're presenting, right, and make sure their voice is interesting.
Absolutely.
Things like inflection, how they accentuate certain words, and little things like the power of the pause. If you stop talking for a couple of seconds, it's really powerful. But people are really nervous when they present. That's one side of it. Role play, you mentioned. Yeah, we do a lot of that. We'll go into companies. We work for the NHS, a lot of private companies too, to help training providers and companies role play. For example, it might be customer service, where the actor would play a customer.
Yep.
It might be something more serious, like bullying in the workplace or sexual harassment,
yeah,
where there's something which is called forum theatre, where you have two actors act out a scenario.
Okay, got it.
And rather than the people having to role play themselves, which we all know can be quite nervous, I've been in that situation, they will watch the actors do it, and they will sort of direct the action. They'll say, well, actually, when I, in our situation, that the manager was angrier,
yeah,
or he went a bit more physical, or he was whatever, and they'll replay the scene so people can discuss it. It's fascinating experiential training that brings it to life. You haven't, you know, we don't do the sort of training that people hate, you know, PowerPoints and a bowl of mints in the middle of the table, which drives people mad.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it? I read somewhere once, I don't know how true it is or whether it's an urban myth, but there was a statistical survey done that said that people were more fearful of speaking in public than they were of dying. And I do meet a lot of business people that really don't like to speak in public, and it is a skill that really every business person should have.
It's a very serious point. I mean, we are not designed to stand up in front of strangers and talk.
Yeah.
You know, we normally talk to our friends and our family. It's not natural to stand up in front of people we don't know, who we think are going to ask us difficult questions,
yeah,
who have got perceptions about us and our company,
yeah,
and are sitting there thinking, well, I don't believe what you're saying, or you're really boring,
yeah,
and they judged you, you look nervous. And there's this great British thing of apologising, which we get out of people. They'll say, like, oh, well, I know you don't want to be here, and I won't keep you long, and I know you'd rather be at lunch, and I'm not very good at this. Which, if you went to the theatre and an actor stood up and said, look, we're not very good, we haven't rehearsed very much, and you're not really going to enjoy it, but bear with us, you'd be thinking, well, that's awful.
Yeah.
But people do it in a business environment. It's about being confident, not arrogant. And people do get nervous. But the big serious point is, if you want to get on in work, in life, personal development, some of our clients, they've had people trained who they want to promote. But if they promote the people, they know, well, if we promote you, you've got to go and pitch the client, you've got to present to the board. And that puts them off. They don't go for that promotion.
Yeah.
Or you won't win sales if you can't present at a workshop, or you can't pitch well in front of the clients.
Yeah,
look, you may have the best product in the world, but if people don't engage with you and they don't listen to you, they might hear your voice, but they're bored, and you've got to be able to engage. And it's not difficult. You just need to show a few tips. And what actors are very good at is saying, well, here's some ways. I mean, calming nerves, for example, it can be something simple as breathing differently.
Absolutely. It's interesting. You're absolutely right, Stephen. I'm totally on board with what you're saying. I absolutely agree. And it's not even formalised presentations. So much of business now is about networking and meeting people. And even events like this, you know, wouldn't that be funny if you walk around this event, there are one or two stands with people sat there kind of looking at their phone and not engaging with the people that are walking around.
I mean, that is another thing we've done. We've worked with companies to help exhibition stands, exactly right. Now, when you walk past the stand, you make a decision whether to go on it. And if people look, if all the guys are talking to each other, as you say, someone's on the phone, sitting there eating a sandwich, you don't want to go on there.
Absolutely.
And if someone's on there, it's eye contact, but done in a way that isn't like, I'm stalking you, and as soon as you walk past the stand, they're grabbing you. It is a skill.
Absolutely.
Because people, body language, physical, is so much more powerful than the verbal. And yeah, networking, or it might just be in a small team. It's not necessarily talking at a big event.
Right.
It could be just another group we work with are job seekers.
Right.
We work with recruitment companies to help boost people's confidence for a job interview.
Right.
I was talking to another exhibitor here who was saying they look for graduates and trying to get companies to employ graduates. We were both saying how hard it can be sometimes. Young people walk into a room and their body language is all wrong. Their voice is all wrong. They look disinterested. And
absolutely,
to them, they don't realise they're doing it.
Yeah,
and you think, well, little play around with it. You've got to look like you want the job. You've got to look interested. Otherwise, your audience, whoever it is, one person or a thousand, won't buy into what you've got to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Steve, we can talk about this forever. You're absolutely right. It's a fascinating subject. Why don't you give us a shout for your website so that people can find out more about your organisation?
Yeah, that's very kind. Yeah, it's www.hendrickstraining.com.
Fantastic.
And please have a look, and we'll be glad to talk to anybody.
And I've just discovered Neil de Villiers, and I want to interview him just to say Neil de Villiers, because I'm probably not saying it right. Could be Villiers, of course. We're going to ask him. He is from Fan Business Solutions. Hello, Neil.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. Well, actually, I'm not. I've got a little head cold. Yes, I'm soldiering on, though. Yes. How do we pronounce your surname?
It's de Villiers.
De Villiers. Okay, and a little French name.
South African, actually.
Okay. Yeah. And tell me about Fan Business Solutions.
Fan Business Solutions is a consultancy set up, basically to help companies do a few different things. So I work on the accounting side of things, where I support a Microsoft Dynamics GP accounting software. I also support a few other softwares as well. One particular one I'm interested in today is to help companies that have a problem in their office with too much documents.
Oh, don't we? Don't we, Jeff?
That's just a crazy sort of situation that people get themselves into after a while. And as the business grows, the processes don't really evolve, and they end up chasing documents around the office all too much. And what we're providing is a solution to help them automate so many of these tasks that have become cumbersome for them. And this helps them save hours every day in many, many, many situations. Just take away all these mundane tasks that they actually do in the office and reduce the amount of paper they print out, automatically emailing things or saving them to the network so people don't have to chase documents around the office. So.
That sounds excellent. And do you help them put in place solutions then, or software, or what do you, how do you help them?
Yeah. So this is a software. It's a very simple but very effective little software piece which acts as a printer, but you put rules in place based on the business's processes and practices, and the documents then will automatically go to where you want them to go. So whether it's sending an invoice to a customer and duplicating that invoice to the sales manager, or are you saving a copy of that invoice to the network because you want to store it for later use, or simply emailing it by PDF document to a customer as it goes along. It's a very efficient way of doing things, and it will automate so many processes that people don't even know is consuming their time in the day.
We can spend an awful lot of time, can't we, Neil, at the desk. And what about emails? You've got any systems to help with the huge load of emails?
Well, actually, unfortunately, this is going to add to the emails that go through. But the nice part is, instead of printing something and putting it in an envelope and posting it, what this does, it automatically emails this document. So actually it uses the email side as a more efficient way of doing things, rather than actually having to spend the time stuffing an envelope, putting a stamp on it, and then sending it out.
So all that licking.
Oh yeah, too much.
And where are you based?
We're based in Sevenoaks at the moment. Very, very convenient, but we've got company. We've got clients all over the country, all the way from Carlisle up in the north down to Birmingham and Warwick, and we've got a few clients here in Kent as well. So we're actually nationally based.
And quick shout for your website loudly.
Right, it is fansolutions.co.uk.
Fansolutions.co.uk. Diana Dupree has just rocked up from Invicta IP Limited, and I'm only interviewing her because I adore her name, Diana Dupree. I want to be Diana Dupree. Now, you're one half of the business, aren't you, Diane?
That's right. I work with my husband. He's Paul Kemp. I'm using Dupree because it's my maiden name.
And it's lovely.
Thank you.
Tell us about the business.
Right. Well, we started in 2011, August. That was the same year as the riots, so that makes it easy to remember. My husband is a patent attorney. That's chartered European patent, chartered and a European patent attorney. And he's a member of the International Liaison Committee of the Chartered Institute of Patent Attorneys. So he can draft patents and prosecute patents in the UK, Europe, and deal with patents worldwide if anybody needs that kind of service.
And it's absolutely essential, as you know, at the beginning, when a business is just starting, probably one of the first things that they should do is look at their intellectual property. Would you agree?
Absolutely that, yes. Far too many people come to us when it's too late, or, you know, we have heart-in-mouth situations where we're thinking, well, I wonder if they've disclosed too much, and my husband is doing searches and making sure that, you know, they can actually apply for a patent. The other worry, of course, is that maybe they're infringing somebody else's. So it really, really needs to be dealt with at the beginning.
And, of course, you can waste a lot of money if you start doing, you know, logos and printing things, and then you realise that you actually can't call your company that name. What kind of, for a new business, how much money are we looking for? I mean, can somebody come in with a couple of £100s, or what kind of investment do they need to come to see somebody like Invicta IP?
Right, well, initial consultation is free. Designs are, if you need a design registered, that is in UK and Europe, it is a matter of a few £100s, but it's not a huge amount, and it can be done very quickly, depending on, you know, depending on the product itself. As far as patents are concerned, you probably want to have in mind for the drafting of a patent, you want to bear in mind £3,000, but that's probably top end, and that's, you know, I'm already building into that, you know, just in case it's complicated. So you might be happily surprised. It's quite possible.
And whereabouts are you based?
We're in Orpington, Kent, but that's also in the Greater London, in the London Borough of Bromley. So I must admit, it depends who we're talking to, whether we say that we're in London or whether we're in Kent. For our international companies or international clients, we are in London, but for Kentish-based businesses, well, we're Orpington, Kent.
Quick shout for your website, Diane.
Yes, that's www.invictorip.com.
We're at the West Kent Business to Business Show on the Business Bunker radio show. And I have with me now two delightful ladies, Delina and Abby Hendry. Hello, girls.
Hi.
Lovely to see you. Now, you guys are from Lioness Consulting, are you not?
We are indeed. Yeah, we're here today just to have a look around the business show and see what it's like.
Fabulous. So tell us a little bit about Lioness. What do you do?
Okay, Lioness Consultants, we're now in our 10th trading year, actually.
10 years, wow.
Yeah, 10 years. And we predominantly provide sales staff and some office support staff for many industries, not only in the local Tunbridge Wells and Kent area, but also in the London market as well. We've recently added to that financial people as well. So we've been doing some accountancy as well as salespeople. We're very busy, which is wonderful. We're trying to find the right people for our clients.
Absolutely. It's a problem at the moment, isn't it, in the recruitment market? There is a big skills shortage.
There is a huge skills shortage at the moment. So we're finding that we do have quite a lot of vacancies on. We don't just do recruitment. We do headhunting as well.
Right, okay.
So, you know, we visit our clients, We interview our candidates face-to-face. We do it properly, maybe a bit of old-fashioned recruitment.
Okay, right. So basically you interview everybody, shortlists and stuff like that?
Absolutely, we do. That's what we normally do, yeah. And as I said, it's something that we enjoy doing as well. And having survived the recession, because we're a small company, but we are expanding, and you know, it's been good for us.
Absolutely. I mean, recruitment in the employment market is one of the first things to get affected during a recession. And as you say, you guys have been in business 10 years now, so you've seen off a recession or two.
Absolutely. Well, we have seen off the recession. And I think once you've survived, especially the last very long recession, then, you know, it just tells us that we're doing something right. Our clients are coming back to us, which is really important to us. We understand what they look for. And as long as we understand what our clients are looking for and what our candidates are looking for, because you do spend a lot of time in the workplace, and it's got to be right for you. And that's what we always preach to the candidates. You know, it's not just about the qualifications. You need the skills to do the job, but you also need to fit in. And personality fit within an environment is extremely important.
Absolutely. It's all about attitude, isn't it, really?
It is. Yeah. You can train. We always say you can train anything, but you cannot train an attitude.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, cool. Look, it's really good to talk to you, ladies. If people want to find out more about Lioness, what's your website?
Our website is www.lionessconsultants.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for joining
Brooker,
us on the
Who's wearing market. A statement necklace, listener. Very fetching. And she's from Dakota Blue Consulting Limited. How has the exhibition been for you this morning?
Hi, Jules. The exhibition has been brilliant this morning. I've met lots and lots of people, people who are potentially interested in the services we offer, but also other businesses who are looking at collaboration opportunities as well, which for us being a small business is great because it really helps us service our clients in a better way.
And what, just tell us a little bit about your services for the listener.
So we provide all the HR needs for companies. So that can be anything from as simple as, could you write us a job description and help us recruit someone into our business, right the way through to helping the leadership team develop a HR strategy for the business and deliver that strategy.
And are you meeting new people here in Tunbridge?
Yes, lots of new people. Actually, more new people than people that I know. Lots of people I've met through Twitter, which is great. So a great way to connect. But lots of new faces, people who have just come to the exhibition to look around as well.
It's funny, isn't it, when people come up to you and say, hello, I know you from Twitter. It's a bit disconcerting.
Very disconcerting, because you're trying to think, oh, which one was that? Where's their picture? But then when they actually say their name, you usually connect because you've had a conversation with them, so it's great.
And where are you based?
We're based in Ashford in Kent, in King's North.
Give us a quick shout for your website.
www.dakotablueconsulting.com.
That's the fabulous.
I'm here with Rebecca Robertson, and Rebecca was voted Customer Service Person of the Year at the Kent Women in Business Awards 2015 last night. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very excited. It's brilliant to be here this morning. I'm launching a sort of a sub part of my company, and to be coming off the back of Kent Women in Business Awards doing it, it feels pretty amazing.
Absolutely, it's amazing to see you here celebrating last night. I saw you when I left, you were in full flow celebrating.
I was trying to behave myself at the same time as I knew I'd be here today, so I was on best behaviour.
Absolutely, but no, very well done. It's a very well deserved award. Why don't you tell the listeners a bit about what it is you actually do?
So I'm a director of Evolution for Women group, because we also have little sub-arms now. So today I'm here to launch Evolution Financial Planning, which is our independent financial advisor side, our investments and pensions, etc., which is all to do with auto-enrolment and, you know, ISAs and all the rest of it, and also the business insurance arm, which is around, for example, relevant life, tax-efficient life cover and key person insurance. But coming from a feminine touch to finance alongside our main brand, which where we're female financial advisors.
Okay, so you tend to focus on the female entrepreneur marketplace?
Tend to, yes. But today, part of the launch at Evolution Financial Planning, which is specialising around business insurance, it's not excluding, obviously, men.
Oh, that's nice.
No, definitely not. And I think that's one of the things with my brand. A lot of people see the Evolution for Women implies that it's only for women. It's not. It's not coming from that place. It's coming from the place that 90% of financial advisors are male. And I've worked in the industry since I was 19, which I won't give away how many years that is, but it's a long time. It's only a few years. No, not at all. I wish it was. It's sort of showing my age a little bit more now. But after being in the industry for so long and going through my own journey, as you know, I'm happily married. I was brought up by my dad was a single parent. So I'm very much, you know, happily married myself. However, in the industry, it's a very male dominated industry. But the amount of support that I'm getting from very senior level people in the banking industry, the mortgage broker industry, and the general financial services sort of industry in general is amazing at the moment. I'm really getting some great pull and some great interest around what we're doing.
Brilliant. No, fantastic. Look, well done. Many, many congratulations on your award.
Thank you. Good luck
with your launch. You've also got an event coming up soon, I think.
Yes, on the 22nd of April. There's almost like a little horn going off. I'd like to mark that event. 22nd of April, I've also run Evo Girls, which is we've got a business masterclass, which is for male and females. But what's additional or different about it is we've got a creche. So those mums that want to get out and with their children but not have to pay extortionate childcare, it's £20 for 5 hours childcare, which is very, very reasonable, high quality childcare, and they're able to come and learn about business planning, Twitter, there's networking. It's going to be absolutely amazing. All for, if you're a Kent Invicta Chamber member, FSB member, or Evo Girls member, it's £20 up until next Tuesday, the 31st. After that, it's £30. And if you're a non-member, then it's £30 and goes up to £40. So there's a massive, massive amount of value of money for in that for over 5 hours training.
Fantastic. Give us a shout for your website so that people can find out more about all the things you're doing.
So I've got a few. I've got www.evolutionforwomen.co.uk. I've got www.financialplanningforwomen.co.uk. I've got evogirls.co.uk. And eventually I'm going to be amalgamating the lot, so it's all in sort of a little bit more of a
your own
place.
Portal.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Go for it. We'll put links to all of those on the Business Spunker website. For the moment, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm with John Handley from the Bridge Trust, and you know who introduced me? My co-presenter sometime on Scoff and Quaff, Mr. Chris Pollard. So, John, I hear from Mr. Chris Pollard that you have some news.
We do have some news. We're a very small charity, as you know, but we want to grow. We want to do much more for, well, homeless people that we serve. So we need, guess what? Money. And the way we do that is to actually raise money through all sorts of different channels. One of my dreams, I suppose, really, is to be self-sufficient. So we don't have to actually, as a charity, ask for money, which is probably never going to happen. But if we can earn our own money as much as possible, then that's absolutely ideal. We're in control of our own destiny then. So we are trying to launch new retail outlets. At the moment, in Tunbridge, we run the largest used furniture warehouse in Kent.
In Tunbridge,
but we're actually being evicted from there. Long story, but that's
badly behaved.
Well, I wouldn't like to say that. No, in redevelopment. We're being replaced by a drive-through McDonald's to add.
You're joking. In Tunbridge?
In Salt.
Surely not.
Surely not. But we are. In due course. Anyway, that's water under the bridge. We've got a new place in Eldon Way, which is in Paddock Wood. Half the size, but it's going to be a quality warehouse. And following on from that theme, we're opening two new shops in Tunbridge Wells. We've got a little one there already. Getting rid of that, opening a new one, twice the size, much better place. And we're also opening a boutique, which is going to be absolutely fabulous.
What's in your boutique?
Well, the boutique, when it's open, let me describe what it looks like. It's going to be.
Come on. Is it sort of a boudoir, John?
It could be. This is one of the things which I'm keen to do. I'm keen to do something different. Perhaps not quite as risque as a boudoir, but something different. This place is going to have jet black porcelain floor. It's going to have designer Art Deco style wallpaper on one of the walls. We've been donated from a firm called Microlights. State-of-the-art retail lighting, which would be absolutely fabulous. It's going to be a quality shop, simple as that. It's going to be somewhere people can buy quality used clothes, not just your old charity shop.
Not that sort of musty, you know, dowdy thing. You're going for a very different feel, like a proper retail shop.
Exactly. It will be exactly like a retail shop, except things will be used or second hand. And some of the things we've been donated, people have been so generous. People like yourself, Jules, who have such style, can donate such wonderful things. You know, what was so last year to you would sell to people, and it'd be absolutely fantastic. I'm really excited about it.
I think it's worth rifling through Paul Andrews' wardrobe, don't you?
Well, we really want quality clothes, to be honest. No, anything like that. Shoes, belts, handbags, all those sort of accessories. And people just love it. I mean, I would love to run, actually, a vintage shop. That would be great. But being a charity shop, we can only sell what we've been donated, obviously. Yeah. So it'll be a general clothes shop, but really nice stuff. Anything that's not nice will go. We'll get some money for it, as rag, as we call it. But we will only sell really nice stuff. And I think that's what we're walking there. I can't wait to see it finished. We've had a lady called Melody Savage, who's an interior designer, has given her time for free to design the interior for us. So we've got lots of people working for us, or for free, donating their time and their goods. And I can't wait for it to open, because it won't be a classic charity shop. We've even rebranded it. We are the Bridge Trust. It's not going to be called Bridge Trust Charity Shop.
Bridge over troubled waters?
Well, we don't like to say that, but it is a bit of a cliche, but we are, that's what our charitable work is. We are, you know, people that come to us who are homeless are in trouble, one way or another. So we are a bridge over troubled waters, but that doesn't go, actually, for the retail.
Are you going to tell us what your new name is, or is it a secret?
It's not a secret. We've been through, say, hell and back to try and find the right the right branding. We're going to be called Bridge Revivals.
Lovely, great name.
This is an exclusive. Never been released to the public before. Bridge Revivals, and then the strap line underneath will say what type of shop it is. So we've got this furniture warehouse, which will have its own strap line, homeware, and with a boutique will be obviously a boutique and so forth.
And when can we find this lovely boutique open?
Well, we were waiting on the delivery of the lights, and as they were being donated for free, obviously we have nagged, I have to admit, but we've got them now. We've had them delivered this week, so we're hoping to open by the middle of April.
That's fantastic news. And what's your website, please?
It's www.thebridgetrust.org.uk, but we're also launching an online website for the charity shops and the particularly our furniture warehouse, which will be all the www.bridgerevivals.org.uk.
That's fantastic. John Handley from the Bridge Trust with some exciting news.
And I'm here with the lovely Mark Mortimer of New Level Results. And he's looking very fetching this morning. It's been a very busy exhibition. You can hear a hubbub in the background. How has the exhibition been for you today, Mark?
It's been very good. We've had lots of people to the stand. Very diverse set of businesses that I've been talking to at the moment. And they've all had a lot of interest in what we're doing.
What do you do?
We help people or businesses and individuals achieve their ambitions, helping companies grow. If they want to grow by, you know, more than 20% or so, we help them. We help small companies, we help big companies like Unilever or Lloyds Bank. So it's essentially what we try to do is help them achieve their best year yet. And that's the essence of what we do.
Any little tips for listeners on one of the first couple of things that you'd be looking at?
Well, the most important thing I believe that they need to do is get very clear on what their vision is for their business, and what their vision and their purpose of their business is, and that normally is over a 3-year span. So if you get clear on that, you can work from there. So we then look at how do we deliver that. So the first step then would be to create a plan, and this is the most important thing, which is quite concise. We actually make it a one-page plan that has all the things you need to achieve the first year of that 3-year vision. We call it the best year yet, and we do that on a repeated basis. So after 3 years, your vision is there in front of your eyes.
Sounds to me like you're pretty hands-on and you're going with your clients step by step. Would I be right?
Yeah, so what we actually do in practice, the first step is to, you know, we work with individual teams, and we do the same on with both parties. We would have a workshop, and typically the workshops would be 4 or 5 hours, to derive the plan. And that's quite a heavy work load for both parties to get to that one-page plan. And then once we've done that, we can track it using an online system, which acts like a sat-nav for the plan, if you like, to keep them on track, know exactly where they are at any given time. And they also work with a coach. So the coach would, first of all, help them develop that plan, and then on a monthly basis, make sure that the the objectives, goals, and also the behaviours that they need to put in place are actually being achieved. And if they aren't, of course, they're coached on things that they could do to improve what they're doing.
And whereabouts are you based?
I'm based in personally in Surrey, in Reigate. My colleague Simon Teague is based in Kent, but we work all over the country. So we have over 10 coaches working in different parts of the country.
And could you give us a shout for your website? 3W's dot?
3W's dot new level results. .co.uk.
I'm here with Duncan Simmons from Metro Bank based in Bromley. Hello, Duncan.
Hello, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, listen, Metro Bank, an exciting new bank on the scene. Tell us a little bit about Metro.
Yes, Metro is, well, we don't like to use the word new, but we're kind of 5 years old now, principally London-based, but spreading into Kent. I represent the Bromley store, but we're delighted to be spreading into Kent during this year.
Right.
Tunbridge Wells opens in May.
Wow, okay.
And in fact, we open a store today in Southend too.
Really?
So that's not
okay.
Kent, but, and Maidstone later in the year.
Absolutely. So brilliant. Tell us, Metro Bank has a particular marketplace that it aims at.
Indeed, yes. We are all about the customer experience. So we're open for any customers, be they personal or business. And what we're trying to give you is the traditional banking that you missed from many years ago.
Sure.
You've got a bank manager on the high street,
wow.
Somebody who actually wants to help small business.
Fantastic. And you're open on quite a wide scale, aren't you?
Indeed, yes. We open 7 days a week, and during the day, during the weekdays, we open 12 hours a day, from 8 in the morning to 8 at night.
Wow.
And slightly shorter hours at the weekend. We don't shut on bank holidays either. What we want to make sure is for you, the customer, we're always there.
That is really unique, isn't it?
Absolutely, and our customers love it. Yeah, we are growing very, very, very fast.
Absolutely. So 5 years into the business, as you say, you're growing fast and you're targeting the market. My understanding is you're not looking to expand outside that marketplace. You don't do international banking or anything like that?
For the time being, no. We're just a UK bank for UK businesses and UK individuals. We're predominantly southeast of England. We've got 34 stores as of today. We expect to have 140 or more within the next 5 years.
Right.
Once we've done that, then we'll conquer the rest of the UK.
Fantastic. And I notice you call them stores and not branches.
Indeed, yes. That's because we think of ourselves like a retailer or a shop because of the hours we keep. You can go to Tesco 24 hours a day. You can come to us, not quite 24 hours a day, but certainly
almost, yeah.
On the high street, yeah. 76 hours a week is our standard opening hours. So,
yeah. I don't think I fancy chatting to my bank manager about 11 o'clock at night.
No, surprisingly, yeah. I'm not so busy on Sundays, but I do still work all those hours if I have to, though.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So, fantastic. It's great to have new... I know you're not new, you're 5 years, but in banking terms, it is a reasonably new phenomenon that we introduce a new organisation to the high street, because it has been dominated by the old five for a long, long time.
Indeed, yes. You know, we are undoubtedly a challenger bank.
Yeah.
The government are welcoming what we're doing, and our CEO refers to what we're doing as groundbreaking, in fact, kind of making history. Because we are changing the face of banking. It's a revolution.
Fantastic. Is there a website that people can go to and find out more about your bank?
Absolutely. www.metrobankonline.co.uk, and you'll find everything you need there, including links to business, personal, and also careers. Because as we expand, we recruit very fast as well. Every new store needs 30 staff.
Fantastic.
Right now, there
brilliant.
Are small business Duncan, owners you. Like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're RIFT. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from RIFT if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday the 7th of April with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jules Serkin. That was some interviews that we did last week at the West Kent B2B in conjunction with RIFT Accounting at their small business startup base camp.
We were right opposite them, weren't they? And they had
a lot of business trotting by. A lot of people.
Some interesting, really interesting people.
Absolutely, yeah. Fascinating. I had a few more tweets and I need to read them out. British Biz Party says, come to the hashtag British Biz, B-I-Z, British Biz Party, Mondays, 9 till 11pm, and you could be chosen as British Star Biz. And if you are, you win an interview on Business Radio on the Business Bunker Show.
With
yeah,
you,
but it's good fun. 9 till 11 Monday evenings on the Twitter. It's a hashtag British Biz Party. Do join in. We've also had a tweet from Kent Tweetups. Next Monday, it's Faversham Tweetup, and that's at the Courtyard Brogdale. So do get along to that. 10 a.m. I think it starts.
Yes, nice coffee there, and also you've got a friend there, haven't you? Young friend there.
Where?
At Brogdale.
Brogdale. Oh, Donna, the lovely Donna.
Yeah. Now this is for the lovely Jason Kay, because he said to me, he threw me a gauntlet, really. He said he bet I only interview people with unusual names like Diane Dupre. So Jason Kay would like a shout out for the Kent Twitter Academy, please. It's UKV Solutions, and they're holding their second Kent Twitter Academy, and that's a hashtag. So hashtag Kent Twitter Academy workshop, and it's teaching local businesses how to use Twitter for advertising your business and products. It's being held at the lovely Bridgewood Manor Hotel on the 1st of May at 5:30. So you've got plenty of time to put this in your diary, listener. And they'll teach you how to use Twitter ads and Twitter cards effectively and get the most out of adverts. They'll also cover how to analyse the statistics for each campaign and what you need to look for. That's very useful. Further details can be found at www.ukvsolutions.co.uk, and that's from the sales manager there, Jason Kay. There is a mobile, which is 07961646664.
Thank you.
You can also Skype him, you know, jason.k89.
Cool. Have you got another one?
Yes.
Go on then.
It's World Health Day today, so my esteemed colleague tells me. So a leading occupational health expert has called for businesses to consider what they can do to celebrate World Health Day on the 7th of April. Jill Monk, who's the Managing Director of Occupational Health Services Provider, All Health Matters Limited, has urged employers to think about the health of their staff and how they can act to improve it. Apart from the obvious effects of ill health on individuals and their families, absence from work costs the UK, the economy in the UK, £14 billion a year, according to the CBI. And figures released by the Chartered Institute of Personal and Development show the overall average cost of ill health per employee per year in 2014 was £609. Within this, the private sector average was 520, 43% less than the public sector average of 914. Cost of absence includes paying the salary of the absent employee, overtime paid to other employees, additional recruitment and training overheads, and loss of output, and add to that the unquantifiable strain on other members of the team. So by helping business to protect their staff from work-related ill health conditions and providing a healthy working environment, assisting with work-life balance, and offering rehab and counselling services to aid a return to work after injury or sickness, businesses can also help to ensure a healthier workforce and avoid these costs associated with absence from work. Now, to find out more from Jill Monk, go to www.allhealthmatters.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Got some news from the Federation of Small Business.
Oh, yes.
With banks having rejection rates of around 50% for first-time SME borrowers, many businesses are now looking to alternative finance options to achieve their growth aspirations. One such option is the Federation of Small Businesses' new member service, FSB Business Cash Advance, and it's provided in association with 123 Send. A business cash advance is quickly becoming a preferred method of financing for businesses both large and small, many of whom have struggled to get funding elsewhere. The advance gives you access to working capital in 15 working days, and it is not secured by assets, so your property, stock and equipment are not at risk. In addition, a business cash advance is linked to your cash flow and repaid via an agreement percentage of your future credit debit card transactions or a fixed direct debit, which means less impact on your bottom line. If you want to find out more about this, go to their website, which is fsb.org. There is loads of links on the Kent Business Radio website. Click on any of the FSB logos and it will take you to that website where you can find out more about that and all the other services and support that the Federation of Small Business offers to you. And just to let you know, the FSB is the largest business support organisation in the UK, with over 200,000 members nationally and more than 6,000 members in Kent. So if you're not a member, do have a look at joining, because it's a fantastic organisation and we highly recommend it.
You get lots of perks when you join, don't you?
You do indeed.
Do you get free solicitor advice?
There's loads of free legal advice. There's lots of support. There's a low-cost telecoms providers, insurance providers and all kinds of other things. But you do indeed get free legal support in certain areas, and it is certainly worth taking advantage of.
Is that the one where you get the use of an office in London, in Pall Mall?
That's the IOD. Yeah.
Which I always quite fancy as well, only because of Imperius Blinky, of course.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely building. In fact, the IOD, as it happens, have more than just Pall Mall now. They have a members place in Leeds and one other place in the UK, and they also have one in Paris too.
Mm, makes sense. Mm,
yeah. One in the city too.
And yeah. One in the city, yeah.
Fenchurch Street?
Fenchurch Street.
What, so another one, Pall Mall and Fenchurch, so
I think
two.
It's all New Fenchurch Street, but it's in that city area.
That's a real boon, I always think, to have somewhere that you can meet people in London, especially if you're a Kent business, you want to do business outside. It gives you a bit of chutzpah, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're lovely buildings as well.
Kent and Victor Chamber have an evening networking. It's at 6 to 7:30. There's no need to book. They say just turn up. So there is one this evening at the Conningbrook Hotel, Ashford. So that's 6 p.m. And then there's also another one at the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre in Dartford. Next Tuesday, it's the 14th. That's the Mercure Hive Imperial Hotel and Spa. And also the 21st of April, you've got the Ramada Encore Chatham. Encore. Ramada Encore Chatham.
Say that again.
Encore. Ramada Encore Chatham. Finally caught up.
Cool. Thank you for that. Well, do you know what? We're just about at the end of the programme.
We are.
So I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to today's show sponsor, which is IPS Security Services, Mr. Derek Taylor and his team there. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's show. Also to our headline sponsors, Rift Accounting and the Federation of Small Business. A massive thank you to our guests in the studio, Mr. Steve Jessup of Advantage Business Partnership. Okay. Also to all the people that took part through interviews at the West Kent Business Show. Too many to list all in one go, but the list of people is on the website for you to look at. Coming up later, and a big thank you to everybody that tweeted in, emailed in and participated in the show. We always like to hear from you, because that's what the show is all about. Coming up later today on Channel Radio at 5 o'clock, Mr. Craig Avery, the ladies' favourite, will be on air. That's followed at 7 o'clock by Beer, Birds, Balls and Bands, the boys down the pub. We'll be back at 7 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, Mr. Jamie Andrews with 18 tracks of new, up-and-coming and unsigned music. And then at 11 o'clock, the absolutely fabulous Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture Show.
I love that show.
So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day. In the meantime, you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and heard Jules Serkin on the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. We will be back with you next Tuesday. Have a fabulous week. And we will see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.